You're listening to a Wiggly World 118.
It's never straight up and down.
It's never straight up and down. It's never straight up and down. It's never straight up and down. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. 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 Wiggle, wiggle,
wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, thanks for joining in. I am not actually against Newtons. In fact, I'm quite a Apple Newton activist. I am an Apple Newton lover. I love the Newton. But somehow, being an atheist, being a lover of the Apple Newton, an advocate of the Apple Newton, will somehow all tie together in a Wiggly World here today. Thank you, everyone, for taking a survey. If you don't know, I have a PodTrack survey going on, and when I went in to look at the We Talk Games survey results so far, even though I forgot to mention the survey once again on the last episode of We Talk Games, I was surprised that some people had already taken the A Wiggly World PodTrack survey. And believe me, I am listening, and now I have a link up on awigglyworld.com where you can click and take a little short survey. Now, thank you for taking it already. You've taken the longer survey. I've since implemented the shorter survey. I didn't realize I could put the shorter survey right on top of the old longer survey results to make things even longer in this explanation. But thank you, and I am listening. It's really, really great to have you all involved with doing that, and I'm getting your feedback. It's 100% anonymous. I don't know who's doing it, so thank you very much for people that put in little notes, not just the other things that I really don't care about, money, demographics, and things like that. But keep in mind that I have no idea who does any of this. It just comes up as statistics. And I'm really happy to say that I'm very popular with the 7 to 10-year-olds. That's great. No, I think there was one person that was under I don't know if what you call it, the age of teenery. Universal driving age area, I guess. Also, part of my voice, it's all a little froggy coming in and out. I might have to click around a couple times to clear my throat. But thank you for taking that. It's been quite dazzling of late. The Chikara Podcast of Gogo has been incredibly time-consuming. But big things coming out of Chikara. I'm very happy about that. If you don't know, we have our first billboard. It is in Philadelphia. And it is amazing. It's right on I-95. So that's the biggest route through Philly. And it features the Bruderschaft. The BDK is on there. But it's really, really neat to see Chikara on a billboard. It's amazing. It's a dream of mine. I've always wanted a billboard, and if you've seen the modifications I made to certain religious billboards that go against the Sermon on the Mount, you will know that I would probably make a great billboard given the opportunity. I've used it as my album art sometimes. But Chikara is doing well. We just got on Roku boxes, so that's great. I've been uploading the Chikara Podcast of Gogo in 720p to Blip TV of late, and I applied for Roku. And now if you have one of these set-top boxes, Roku boxes, you might be able to get this through your cable company. It allows you to do things like YouTube and Netflix and things like this right through a very small cable type of box. And also, if you go to Blip TV, now we are the Blip TV channel, I guess. I don't have one. I don't know. But you can find Chikara Podcast to Go-Go every Monday night and in 720p. We Talk Games is also doing quite well. It's becoming a real behemoth for me to put together. But especially this last episode, it was a little bit of a special case. We had on some pinball great Steve Ritchie, who is a master of the flow and the creator of many, many very admirable pinball machines that younger pinball creators and other pinball creators gained inspiration from. And I mean, he's really a guy that to look up to and whatnot in the pinball industry. But he really can't hear anymore. He's very, very hard of hearing recently. I don't know if it's because of loud music. I don't know why, but because I know he's a big rock and roller. But he has a very hard time hearing, especially the telephone. So I had to conduct the interview with instant messaging while I'm asking the questions and things like this. And then, so that was very special to try. That was, you know, needed special attention to try to edit together. You can imagine the editing type of job that that would require to make it listenable. And also, the people that we interview are usually not used to giving interviews on a daily basis, public speaking interviews. Maybe they type interviews or things like this. But many of our people that we have on from video game past greats and things like this and current greats are not used to public speaking. So many of their sentences will have an A, you know, usually at the beginning of a sentence, and quite probably at the end of a sentence, and at least one A, you know, or variant thereof strewn throughout the same sentence. So in order to make the podcast listenable, a little bit of trimming has to take place. We have trim it, keep it looking nice, little racing stripe, something like this, something modern, more contemporary. And then that makes the show a little bit more enjoyable. It also makes the show a lot shorter. If you think the show's long, it would be at least another 20 minutes longer with all the A-ums you knows. They really add up, friends and listeners. Hey, thanks for joining us, friends. Friends, do you suffer from itchy back? Well, worry no longer, friends. Let us dive right in. Thank you, everybody, for purchasing the We Talk Games merchandise. Thank you, Noel. Thank you, Benny, for your donations. They really, really come in handy. If you don't know, We Talk Games Pro Shop, that's where we sell high-quality T-shirts with our original We Talk Games logos and things like this. That's doing quite well. We have to go back for some reprints. We have bumper stickers there for We Talk Games, and we also are going to have a neat new poster. We have to come up with honest shipping policy for cross country and overseas. And also I need to expand the bleed room on air, and we can get that going. And somehow, I don't know how this all ties in, but it will. WeTalkGames.com and our Pro Gear store. Thank you very much, everyone, for doing that there, then there, because that helps. And the main, getting back to the survey results before I dive in here. So one of the negatives of a Wiggly World show is, and this is great, and let's only talk about the negatives. Let's only focus on that. Why not? Because the positives, well, let me tell you, the positives I need. Thank you. We need this because, I'd probably be playing a video game now. So I'm very happy to do this show, but having that positive reinforcement come back, that's great. And if you choose not to write anything on a survey, that's fine too. But your little suggestions will go a long way. And I am listening. That's why I'm doing this survey. the negative results. Okay, so the one negative result I really agree with is not enough listeners for a Wiggly World show. Yeah, that's right. I got to tell you, I'm quite open to suggestions how to change that. Another one, which probably goes hand in hand with not enough listeners, is Wiggly sometimes rambles on. Yes, that is probably why. Listen, I know that number one, it takes a very special type of person to listen to the show. And we'll get into this as soon as I read this one-page article from InGodWeTrust.com. You will be aware of what I am up against, at the least, and what you are up against at the outer edges of that, perhaps. I realize it takes a very special type of person to listen to the show. I think that all of our listeners are very... they got a lot of smarts going on. I mean, they're not, it's not your average, I don't even know a good analogy. I wasn't ready for this. It sort of snuck up on me. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what one of Chizzy's hairdressers had said to her recently. I can't even think. Something about, Obama's thinking about making Muslim stamps or something. Something like this. You know, something that no one knows anything about. They don't realize how many Muslims there are in the world. Number one, they probably have no idea. They probably have no idea the ratio between Muslims, Christians, other, you know, Buddhists, then others, and then non-theists, atheists, and things like this, non-believers. And she herself probably never questions that, you know, why am I even a Christian? I mean, I've done all these things that definitely are not Christian-like, and I think that I base my morality on the Bible, but in fact, I base it on my own moral compass. You know, the people that really don't question what they believe, why they believe, or anything else. And so it takes a very special person to be able to listen to this show. Now, there are, of course, believers that listen to this show, but it takes a very special type of believer. It takes a person that is interested in believing what they believe for a reason, you know? Noel sent me a letter along with an order for two We Talk Game shirts. And, you know, it's very sad. He's in a place where he is being criticized for his non-beliefs. When he shares the fact that he holds no belief, he holds no theism, he doesn't believe in fairy tales, he doesn't believe in Humpty Dumpty and things like this, he is criticized. And I just think that is so sad. But it is really that it's sad because why would you criticize a person that wants to believe in things that he or she can perform some type of verification process to show that what they actually do believe in has a higher probability of being what reality is? It's a sad state, and it's definitely reflected in you know, television in our culture now. I mean, you look at the Big Bang Theory. How many people aspire to be a Sheldon Cooper? You know, how many people want to know things? How many people want to have a reason for things? Now, there's OCD involved with there. We don't need to go that far. We don't need to be so geeky that we alienate ourselves from the rest of society. We're still social creatures down deep. I mean, I like to be alone for the most part, but I obviously love to be interacting with people, even though I'm doing this, on a one-way into your earballs. I do like to interact with people, and I love to meet you when I get out there. So you don't have to be, you know, socially alienate yourselves. But oftentimes when we do, you know, mention, hey, you know, I'm just interested in why you believe what you believe. I mean, that's criticized. That's backwards. And now, you know, the being a geek, being a dweeb, that's not cool. It's being stupid, I guess. That's cool. A great example. I don't want to bring up TNA, even though I'm going to, because, geez, you get me started on there. Wow. That'll be another hour. All the things going on with that program now. Wow. You know, I don't know. And maybe it's going to be popular. I don't know. Maybe it does appeal to the lowest common denominator or something. It's a sad state going on in TNA. But they have a character, the Pope, who's a very good, very charismatic fella, good wrestler. And he's a younger fella. But the Pope is a pimp. But the Pope doesn't really act like a pimp on the television. So he does mention pimp slap, and that's fine. But the Pope sort of talks like the Hulk. He doesn't have any articles. He doesn't say is. He speaks about himself in the third, and that's okay. If you want to speak about yourself in the third, that's okay. But you don't say, Pope going, smack him. You know, there's no reason for you to not speak English eloquently. In fact, if you believe yourself to be more intelligent than other people, as the Pope is coming off to be, then you think you would speak better than the people that you're supposed to be more intelligent than. And he doesn't. And so this is sad. This is showing that, you know, hey, this is stupidity. It's not street talk either. I mean, you can keep the content the same, and I wish they would. But the problem is that the delivery, with the leaving out the is and the a and the and the and the yeah, I don't like it. So this is unfortunately the way of the world, and being stupid is cool, I guess, and being something, you know, something to aspire to. I aspire to be dumb instead of aspiring to actually think about things and be intelligent. So Noel sent me this thing. That was the one criticism, that I don't have enough listeners. I completely agree with it, that I go off on tangents. Exactly. That's what this show is, though. If you want something that is strewn together with content and a subject, there are plenty of other shows out there that do things a lot more concisely than I do. The recently was re-listening to a lot of things from Minnesota Atheists, stuff like that. And, you know, you have the Center for Inquiry. They have great podcasts that are very concise and put together, much like I do. We Talk Games. We Talk Games is very concise. It has a format. We stick to it. We do go long sometimes. But that's because we only go as long as it takes to talk about the things we want to talk about, in my opinion. Most of the time, we're overbooked. We shouldn't be booking two guests a lot of times. But you never know. You never know what you're going to get out of a guest until after the interview's done. So, you know, it's really hard to plan that out. We do plan to try to stick to 3 hours tops. But sometimes it goes a little over. Sometimes it goes under. And I like to just be open with that. And that's what podcasting is about. Podcasting is a format that can be as long or as short as you want it to. It doesn't have to fit into a radio program around the commercials. Okay, well, we have 20 minutes worth of commercials. We have an hour to fill, so you have to fill the other 40 minutes. You know, it doesn't have to fit to that. Podcasting is for anyone, of all qualities, of all quantities, of all anything. And that's what I love about podcasting. It is the real, it's not real pirate radio. It is the real pirate audio blog, I guess. Also, of course, Chikara Podcast A Go-Go, which takes up the majority of my time, especially now with these new episodes, that is also concise. But Wiggly World is where I open the mic and I ramble and I go. And it's quite easy for me to go from one topic to another, completely unrelated and completely unashamed. And that's what it needs to be. It needs to be a place for me to be completely open. Now, if I had a television show, a national TV show, and my name was Bubba the Love Sponge, and I came on, and this was a pre-recorded show, and I say, "Don't be a cripple! Don't be a cripple!" And this is pre-recorded, and they keep that in, I can only imagine what this guy is going to be like on live television. I guess people just love to watch car crashes. And I can, you know, I could take a 3-minute dramatic pause on A Wiggly World, and I hope that I'm free to do that. Now, I know that that's probably why I don't have the listenership, but thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Obama administration ripped for historic, in quotes, meeting with atheist anti-religion hate groups. You know, I'm a member of the anti-religion hate group. It's great. We get together. We burn our Bibles. And this is just a title, everyone. You know, you realize that these atheist anti-religion hate groups probably have read more of the Bible than you have in your religious group of In God We Trust, Keeping Faith in America. So Noel had sent me a link to an article, and I didn't know Obama didn't. I didn't know that Obama met with my atheist anti-religion hate group. My atheist anti-religious hate group membership ring wasn't flashing to let me know that that Obama was meeting with us secretly in the tunnels. But Noel sent me this, and, you know, like I said, with his disheartening email about, I don't want to say being persecuted, but, you know, being uncomfortable, made uncomfortable, being harassed, being looked down upon because of his quest for reality. Jesus. So this is from ingodwetrust.org. And if you look around the banner ads around here, you will see what we were up against. But this is actually a real group. They actually really believe the things that they say here. And in this article, dated February 26, 2010, it says Obama administration ripped for historic meeting with atheist, anti-religion, hate groups. Now let's see who. I wonder who they were ripped by. The advocacy group In God We Trust today ripped the Obama administration for meeting to plot political strategy with 60 atheist activists representing organizations comprising the Secular Coalition of America. We're the atheists! Here's what we don't believe! We don't believe anything! Who am I? I'm nobody. I don't believe in myself. I don't believe in anything. I'm an atheist. Here's a quote from Chairman Bishop Council Ned. It is one thing for administration to meet with groups of varying viewpoints, but it is quite another for a senior official to sit down with activists representing some of the most hate-filled anti-religious groups in the nation, says In God We Trust Chairman Bishop Council Ned. Hate groups, huh? Hate-filled anti-religious groups in any... Wow. What about that guy? I heard about this guy that's supposed to come back to separate the wheat from the chaff and then make humans burn in eternal hellfire. What about that guy? He sounds very friendly and unhate-filled. President Obama seems to believe that it is a good idea to have a key senior aide plan political strategy with people who believe faith in God is a disease. Ned says. And I guess Ned just writes his stuff. I don't know. I don't know who this Ned is. I don't know anything about this organization except what I read around this article, which is hilarious. Join the fight. Receive email. Join the fight. See, who is a hate-filled group, militant? Join the fight. Wow. It says some of the people in this coalition believe the world would be better off with no Christians and no Jews, and they aren't shy about it. Is that what they say? You know, the world's a lot better without Christian and Jews. I've never heard anyone give that speech. That is silly. Ah. How do they get this money to do these websites? The fact that this meeting is happening at all is an affront to the vast majority of people of all faiths who believe in God. According to the Freedom From Religion Foundation's president, Dan Barker, Christianity is an enemy to humanity, and the antithesis of freedom. Dan Barker, Freedom From Religion Foundation company president, is losing faith in faith, page 255. That's where he's quoting from. And religion also poses a danger to mental health, damaging self-respect, personal responsibility, and clarity of thought. Definitely. I mean, you can't even whack off and not feel ashamed, like, oh, I spilled my seed. I know the Bible says about spilling seed. You know, it's got to be so cryptic about it, and I'm not supposed to eat shellfish. I wonder if Mr. Ned here eats some shellfish. I wonder if Mr. Ned wears polyester and all the other abominations to the Lord. Madeline Murray O'Hare declared, "Ours is a time when successful struggle against this reactionary philosophy requires more than a Mary is one that believes, why use a long word when a diminutive one will suffice? Now, Mary is from the American Atheist Association website, but the way that she structures her sentences is quite lawyer-like. It's not in plain layman speak. Ours is a time when successful struggle against this reactionary philosophy requires more than a petulant argument over the authorship of the Gospels, more than a negative attack on the totalitarian and monolithic authoritarianism of conventional religion, but rather an aggressive action program to spread the positive philosophy of materialism." So what she's saying there, and what she is articulating so well, to leave little wiggle room for someone to turn this into some sort of a hate speech, is she's saying that, you know, we need to know what we believe and why we believe, and we not only need to know that, but we need to know what people we need to make sure that we understand what we don't believe better than the people that believe it. But even if we do, that might not be enough. We need to be able to show what we do believe and the philosophies involved in getting along with our fellow humans. This is sort of, you know, what secular humanism is all about. It's about being part of the human race. And that's something I always would sing about, like in songs like Trap Rap. You know, what race am I? Yeah, I'm the human race. I never fill out that portion of the survey, that portion of the Social Security card that says race. I just put other. Because I'm not part of that, man. I had nothing to do with my parents that decided to have coitus, you know, and then their parents screwed, and everyone just screwed all the way up, and I guess that's why I'm screwed up. But you know, everyone just screwed, and I had no control over what shade my skin is, how much melatonin I have in there. I had nothing to do with that. And you know, this goofball is saying that with no Jews, and he's so stupid. He's so moronic, because no one would say that, because, you know, Judaism is not just a religion. It's not a belief. It is now considered a culture. And, you know, it's not there's instances of this. We also see this in Sikhism, although you don't really hear about that as much as common as Judaism is, especially in, you know, the United States. But these are religions that became cultural. Like you have Yiddish, and maybe there's other examples of this as well that I'm not aware of. Like you have people that speak Yiddish. You have a whole culture. You have all these traditions and everything. Groups of people. Most of this all stem from the collapse of Israel in the 70s and the ousting from Rome and things like this. So, you know, it became a cultural thing. It's not a race. It is a culture based on a religion, but it's recognized also as a culture. So to say that someone said that it would be a better place without, you know, culture, a culture, would be ridiculous, and definitely nothing that like that was probably ever said. It's completely out of context, I'm sure. But here's some of the ads around this In God We Trust article. receive emails, news updates, donate to help us keep fighting. Visit our online action center. I want to go to their online action center. The official Congressional Daily Prayer, they have that posted there. And American Religion Heritage Center, that's the link. They also do other news coverage about us. I wanted to read about this, but you know what? I'll let you be surprised and shocked and appalled for yourself and how stupid people can be. I think I went on there and it said about, you know, our founding fathers. Well, you know, once again, all these ridiculous... there's not one sentence that really I could agree with in any of their articles and any of their mission statements or anything like that. One thing I can agree with is that right now in our day and age, the 2 terabyte hard drives are getting around that $100 range. Right now, the standard is a terabyte drive costs around $100. It comes in around $100. Sometimes you can get them for $70, $80, which is fantastic. And soon we'll see 2 terabytes. But let's base this on right now the 1 terabyte drive being $100. And that 1 terabyte equals 1024 gigabytes. So 1,000 gigabytes, roughly. Or 1,048,576 megabytes. Okay, so we're around 1 million megabytes equals a terabyte. So these hard drives are, now that we have, you know, higher definition video and things like this, we need more and more storage space. Well, I am an Apple Newton enthusiast. I love the Newton, okay? And recently, I've been getting back into my Newts, well, you know, anticipation of the new iPads coming out. And the Newton was amazing because you had a modem that would attach to this little PDA. And it was a PDA that I think these came out in around 95. I know they ended production in 98. The first MessagePad 100, I don't know, maybe they come out in 94, 95, somewhere around there. And then the last of the series, the 2100 and the eMate, which the eMate was for classrooms and it looks more like a laptop. It was very heavy-duty laptop-looking thing, but it was not as powerful as the Apple Newton 2100. That was the most powerful out. But I wanted to try to get some additional memory for my Newtons because, you know, I want to put some more apps on there. You can pretty much get all the apps now off of UAA.org. Let me check. UNNA.org, the United Network of Newton Archives, which has some mayors. You could donate to them if you love the Newton. And you can pretty much get just about anything that ever came out for it. And if you didn't know, like your 2100s and even the eMates, you can get those online with like some wireless network cards. Although these old wireless network cards are going to cost you an arm and leg now because, let's face it, everyone threw this stuff out. Everyone threw out their 4 megabyte cards. I had a couple 4 megabyte PC MCIA cards laying around, but they were things that were headed for the dumpster, and I just happened to take them, as well as like the Ethernet cards, the 3COM Ethernet. Who would think about keeping these PCI cards, these old ones? No one, because they're quite outdated, and especially the dongles that would go along with them. So many of these items they're fetching a pretty penny. But I went to this one site to pick up some memory for my Newton. And believe me, this is getting into the atheistic ideas. It needs to go around the horn to get there. And I put in an order. I was like, I really would like to get some memory. And I found some on eBay, the 4 megabyte. I think the eMate can only take the 4 megabyte. I don't think it could take any of the bigger cards. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to, the 2100, the more palm-like one, can handle even 32 megabyte cards, and I think it may even be able to handle a 64 megabyte card, but I'm not certain. But certain types, they have to be the 5 volt and whatnot. So I went on this one site that actually carries tons of Newton's things, but the prices are outrageous. In fact, I said to myself, well, I'm only going to do this once, and I might as well get the 16 megabyte card for my 2100. Now, I know this must sound completely asinine to you talking about a 16 megabyte card, but yes, indeed, that would increase my memory. It would quadruple my memory on that 2100. The eMate only has 2 meg of internal memory, and it's using that for the operating system and stuff like that too. So you're talking about a few hundred K. If you have like 300K free on your eMate, you're doing pretty good. You can put a couple things on there, but not much. You can't put a lot of books. You have to do a lot of swapping and things like this. And the other problem with the eMate is it only has one slot. So, you know, you can't have wireless and your memory card in there at the same time. Yeah, it has to be one or the other. Now, I know that they did come out with an upgrade for this, another 4 meg card that fits in the back just recently. An independent company did, and that's the same company. But they went $128 for 4 megabytes. But anyway, I'm on this site, and I thought, okay, I'm going to get the 16 megabyte card. I can't believe I'm going to spend $40 on a 16 megabyte card. But there's been a lot of rough things going on recently, and Chiz said, no, go ahead and do it and go ahead and get this. So I was going to do this, and I put it in, and I sent the PayPal, and I've recently gotten paid from Chikara Events, so I was okay with that. So I paid the $40, and then he emailed me maybe 2 days later, your shipping is $12. This is a little 2 ounce card, 2 to 4 ounce card. $12 for shipping. So I wrote an email. I said, listen, you know, I understand you're charging a premium for this stuff. This is really a $0 to $5 item if I find it on eBay. But because it's there, I understand you have a really nice site. Thank you for the site. It's great for us Newton lovers. But I'm going to have to ask for a refund unless you charge me what the real shipping fee should be for this little, at most, 8 ounce item with packaging. So he refunded my money instead. But I just wanted to break this down. Nowadays, let's go by the terabyte model. Nowadays, you're paying about 0.00009 cents per megabyte. With this 16 megabyte card costing $14, that same terabyte hard drive, using the price of this Newton memory, instead of costing us $100, the terabyte hard drive would cost $2,621,440. So if you want to somehow try to rig create a hard drive for this Newton, you'd be a millionaire, because all you'd have to do is sell one. But you know, I was okay. I was cool with that. But then I found another place that had actually a 24 megabyte flash card for this $30. So the shipping was $2. So that's really great. I got a bigger hard drive for less money, and I'm happy about that. I can't wait to get that and be able to put some more books on my eMate, because the eMate is really good. What the eMate is really good for is not necessarily for web surfing and things like that, although you can, but you have to be frugal with memory and frugal with installing a browser, and remember that that most websites aren't going to render too well in here. If you're going to all old school texty based websites, then you'll probably be okay. But I wanted to read this because this is one book that I have in my eMate 300. And eMate 300 is great for doing word processing and stuff like that. In fact, it comes with a version of Works, which is like compatible with Apple Works and things like this. Now, remember, hooking these to your new computers will take a little bit of time to invest into getting a KeySpan serial adapter and other things like this to work. Unless you have an old Mac laying around, then you could probably do it quite easily with the serial pins. But you can hook this to a PC or a Mac. You just need the right equipment and a little bit of time investment. But I was going through what books I wanted to put on my eMate to read, and I decided to put on Atheists United book. And this is an organization that's still around. And I just, when I read this, I thought, you know, I just want to get on a Wiggly World and just read this. It's been a long time since I've read to you. I think the last disaster when I was tried to read the Epic of Gilgamesh or something like that. And that was a stumbling, bumbling mess. So imagine me now trying to read off this tiny glowing green screen to you of my Newton with all these refractions going on. What is that? Oh, it's my microphone. Okay. But I thought, you know, this is so good. I hadn't even read the whole thing, but I just wanted to get on here and read this. Unfortunately, it took a 40-minute introduction to get here, but that's the way that a Wiggly World goes. And you can still go to atheistunited.com if you want to, especially like Noel and things like this, or you can go to the American Humanist Association. There's AHA, I think they're called. There's all different great little organizations like this where you can find community. And there's even meetup groups in my area now. I don't know how it is in Arizona. You know, I can't. Right now I'm stretching my collar a la Rodney Dangerfield, but it's getting a little hot in here. But, you know, you might be able to find some community. And believe me, even for the metropolis that Allentown is, the Lehigh Valley is, I think there's only like 8 or 9 members of this group. And most of these events, only 2 or 3 people show up at. So I can only imagine at a more religious belt area. But you never know. But I'm here for you, man. You know, feel free to email me anytime. If I don't get back to you, I still read it. Believe me, I'm still reading it. It's been a little rough lately. And today I have to try to make some more calls to get on some crazy medicine because it's been getting progressively worse and worse. But I'm on it. It's just, but you know, I come on here and say, if you're in a crisis, call the crisis hotline. You call 911. And that's all good. But I'm not in that type of crisis yet. I don't have the same type of work coverage like I used to. I used to be able to call a mental health hotline without an emergency and then get right in. But my current, because I'm like added on to Chizzy's health insurance now, it's not like that anymore. So I'm having a hard time finding a mental health care provider. Believe it or not, I called and one place was out of, they're not taking any new patients, and the other place was, they don't prescribe medications, they were just some counselors, which is great, which I need as well, and we'll set up, but I need to get on the Lamictal that I was on before as part of the whole thing. You know, it's little bits, everyone. Usually when you have mental health issues, you need to really spread it out. You know, you need to eat better, you need to exercise, you need to, you might need prescription medicine if it depends on the severity and the type. That let a professional help you with that there. And you should probably also go for some sort of one-on-one counseling. And all these things are usually provided for you by your healthcare from your job. And like I said, if you're in a crisis situation, 911, and they'll get you right in, man. They'll help you out. If you feel like hurting yourself or others, 911, they are there to help, or these suicide crisis hotlines. I think it's like 1-800-SUICIDE. No fooling. Check that out and get yourself some help. But I'm in a much more relaxed case. I've been handling this for several years now without healthcare. Now that I'm back on healthcare, I'm just trying to get back into it, and I'm getting there. It's just been a roller coaster of a few weeks. But even though this Atheist United exists, this ebook from 95, probably 96, 97, 98, somewhere around there. It's amazing. It's quite well constructed, and I just thought I'd read this. I guess this was like a sort of a mission statement back when they first started out, and I will be trying to read this off my eMate 300. Atheist United, an introduction, and it starts with a quote. I cannot imagine a God. That's a terrible Albert Einstein. It's probably the worst Albert Einstein ever. I'll try to do it just in my regular voice. I cannot imagine a God who rewards and punishes the objects of his creation, whose purposes are modeled after our own, a God, in short, who is but a reflection of human frailty. Neither can I believe that the individual survives the death of his body. Although feeble souls harbor such thoughts through fear or ridiculous egoism. Albert Einstein from Living Philosophies. And these quotes are, I mean, these quotes are gold to me that they use in here. So that's why I thought it would be, I really need to read this. Atheists United is a nonprofit educational organization with two basic goals. One, separation of state and church, and two, the promotion of atheism primarily through education. An atheist, we are literally without theism, without belief in any gods. And, you know, that's important here. Any gods. The people at whobuiltthebible.org, what are they called? ingodwetrust.org. I doubt that they believe in Shiva. You know, I doubt if you ask Reverend, he's so pious, he needs to be called Bishop Council Ned, Chairman Bishop Council Ned. How pious is that? How much against the Sermon on the Mount? You know, call no one rabbi. You know, don't call yourselves priests. Or bishops, and there he is, you know, bishop, right there, going against his own God. Well, what are you going to do? So here we go. Atheists make up one, so like I said, I doubt that they believe in Shiva. I doubt that they worship Hercules, although many people do believe in Shiva. Many people still believe in pray to Allah every day, you know, two or three times. I bet that he doesn't worship Allah, so he's an atheist. It's just that we take it one God further than he does. The Reverend Bishop Council. I don't know why I'm sweating this guy. He's probably a complete loon. As atheists, we are literally without theism, without belief in any gods. Atheists make up 1/4 of the population, including those who describe themselves as humanists, agnostics, free thinkers, rationalists, secularists, materialists, or just non-religious. Atheists have no blind faith or unchangeable beliefs. To us, all ideas are only as certain as evidence allows and must remain subject to challenge. We do not accept superstitions of any kind, and it is clear to us that religions are the most pervasive and abusive of all superstitions. Indeed. I couldn't say it better myself, especially the part, you know, we don't hold unchallengeable beliefs. You know, you can challenge anything we believe. That's what you're supposed to be able to. I mean, of course, our ego might get in there every now and then, but that's what it's all about. Our beliefs can change as evidence presents itself. I can't think of a more pure way to exist or to be. I see nothing evil about that or hateful. Atheists United was formed to help unite the millions of people who see the world as being without supernatural cause or intent, and who recognize that the survival and progress of humanity are dependent upon rational human effort. We welcome your participation. Okay, I'm gonna turn my light on. The day will come when. Okay, here's another quote. Try to guess who said this. You'll never guess, probably, unless you've read it before. The day will come when the mystical generation of Jesus, by the supreme being as his father, in the womb of a virgin, will be classed with the fable of the generation of Minerva in the brain of Jupiter. So this is somebody that also believes that hopefully one day Christianity will be seen the same way that we now see the Greek mythologies and things like this. This was from Thomas Jefferson. Wow, I never heard of that guy. I bet that he wasn't our American heritage, Thomas Jefferson. Very unfamiliar with that name. And that is, of course, from Jefferson's Bible. And now we continue on with the Atheist United introduction. Those who call for the Christianizing of America and seek to bring Americans back to God are ignoring a bitter lesson from our nation's history. Though many of our original settlers came here to find religious freedom, they soon began to enforce conformity on all within their settlements. With a few honorable exceptions, the oppressed became the oppressors. Quakers, Jews, and non-believers were kept from voting and holding office. Yeah, let's return to our American heritage. The punishment for heretics, such as mutilation, banishment, and even death. were basic laws in many of the original 13 colonies. It is not by accident the U.S. Constitution mentions no God, or that its only reference to religion prohibits any religious test for office. The authors, many of them deists, were influenced by the political philosophers and rationalists of the Enlightenment, which was an era, the Enlightenment era. They were determined to avoid repeating the oppression which Thomas Jefferson called the religious intolerance under which mankind so long bled and suffered. As a result, the First Amendment both guarantees our freedoms and prohibits any government involvement in religion. It is so amazing that is our First Amendment, you know? That's how important it is to have freedom of religion, freedom from religion. Some current abuses by religion is the head of this section. The idea that, and here we start with a quote here. This is amazing. Try to guess who this is from. The idea that religion and politics don't mix was invented by the devil to keep Christians from running their own country. That was from our beloved, God rest his soul, the Reverend Jerry Falwell, New York Times, May 1982. Can't wait for him to come down on a cloud of glory with a flaming sword in his chubby little paws. Today, powerful religious organizations are aggressively threatening state-church separation in our nation. Remember, this was in the late 90s. They are trying to subvert our Constitution, guaranteed freedom from religion, in order to bring voluntary prayer into the public schools. Let's see, the official congressional daily prayer. I'm just looking at the side ads here. See how many of these fall into. And keep in mind how many of these are still incredibly prominent and in the news today. That's what's amazing. We're 14 years removed, at the most 14 years, at the least 10 years removed from this. Impose the religious moral codes on the entire nation by banning birth control and abortion through public law. We can talk about that as well. Great thing on Minnesota Atheists about that recently. Ban all books they don't like from schools and libraries. Check. Censor motion pictures, plays, radio, TV, and magazines. Check. Force non-religious citizens to support religion by exempting church property and income from fair taxation. Incredibly true. Force unsubstantiated creation science into public school science classes and stop the teaching of evolution. See last episode of Wiggly World. Elect public officials based on religion and keep from office all non-believers. That was the case until the new administration. In my opinion, and I could be wrong, and I don't follow politics as closely as I should, but I have seen it, especially with our Supreme Court justices, huh? Debase our currency with religious slogans and God we trust, and pollute or your websites, and pollute governmental affairs with religion. Reagan's Year of the Bible. We Americans must protect ourselves from these determined and well-funded religionists. Well-funded is quite a important term there, in my opinion, and I spoke about that last time with these proclaimers, these talking Bibles sent to the Haitians in need of food and everything else. Send these. I can only imagine how much each one of these proclaimers must have cost them. How long could you have fed those people just for one proclaimer? Okay, now we get another wonderful quote here from a fellow that I'd like to know more about and have mentioned in past episodes. All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions set up to terrify and enslave mankind and monopolize power and profit. Thomas Paine from The Age of Reason. Great cat, man. Died a pauper. Why join Atheists United? There have been, and that's as far as I read on this. But I just thought, you know, I don't know. It's just so, like, people complain about my show being all over the place. There's a concise statement right there. And I even diverted on those, but I needed to. There have been saviors in ever age of the world. Whoa, typo. It is all just a fairy tale, like the idea of Santa Claus. Oh, that's a quote. Never mind. There have been saviors in every age of the world. It is all just fairy tale, like the idea of Santa Claus. Mark Twain, a biography. And going down. Separation of state and church is not just a platitude or slogan. It is a necessity. It's a necessity for your freedom, which is being threatened today as never before. Working with Atheists United means you're demanding your freedom and backing it up with meaningful, concerted action. You're tired of subsidizing tax-free superstitions. You don't want your children and grandchildren to continue to be indoctrinated with fairy tale mythologies. You want to be part of the fight against ignorance. You're ready to have some effect on the real world. You know, now remember, this is coming from Atheists United, okay? So that's kind of strong. That's like how I would talk on this show. But that's the point where we're at. We're at a 0.0 tolerance. Show us the money. Show us or shut the F up. If God wants us to do something, he'll make us do something. He doesn't need any prophet to do that. He doesn't need some ancient desert book about a tribal god to let us know what his will is so that we may do it. He will speak to all of us at one time. He's all powerful and there's nothing stopping him. He definitely doesn't need any prophet or mouthpiece or website begging for money to help join the fight. God can fight for himself. Do you so think that your God is so feeble that he can't fight for himself? 0.0 tolerance, my friends. And that is not a war cry. That is not a rally cry. This is an individual Wiggly sitting behind one microphone. You know, I'm not a movement. I'm just me thinking about how an all-powerful God would be. And what they would do. And a loving God and a caring God. Would a caring God just leave you running around in the dark between Reverend Puss in Boots and all these other morons? Well, you know, the hurricane wrecked Louisiana because, you know, they have Mardi Gras. And they're homosexual. Marriage. Oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? Babies died. You know, just like when God flooded the earth. All those babies, old women, innocents, everybody destroyed. Lot. The only person that was judged worthy in the whole town. Not even babies were innocent. Couldn't find anyone. I guess the angels didn't speak baby to find out if some of the babies were innocent and pure and righteous. Lot, the most righteous man, says, don't rape these two angels, crowd. Here, take my virgin daughter. Lot. Good stuff. Go back to our traditional American values. Hey, let's get our father drunk and then date rape him. He won't know that he ejaculated because he's drunk, and then which is impossible. And then, you know, we'll do this twice. Date raping and incest. And that's how we'll start our tribes. I do it first. Now you, his other daughter, you do it next another night. That's great. Great moral lessons. You know, people aren't intelligent enough to decide what is moral and right for them. We definitely need Reverend Poopin' Boots. I don't even know. Wait a minute. I missed something in this thing here. Tina Chen, the director of the White House Office of Public Engagement, will meet with representatives from groups that comprise the coalition. The coalition's sponsoring organization includes American Atheists, founded by Madeline Murray O'Hare, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is campaigning to stop the post office from issuing a stamp honoring Mother Teresa. Oh my gosh! Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she's a saint! Don't you know she was ratified a saint, or whatever they do to make people saints? Blessed her a saint because of all her miracles? I hope that Mother Teresa's kept off of a stamp. She was a great PR agent. But what about Calcutta? She believed that suffering was the way to get to God. And she kept her poor community poor and suffering while she jet-set it around the globe, saying, "Peace be with you, I'm old, Nana." She believed in keeping her people suffering. My goodness. Read a book. Right. But I don't want to go into that, although I did. So I don't know where I was, but wherever I am, I hope I could get back to here. Let me continue on with reading, and I hope I completed a thought. As President Kennedy reminded us, the greatest... I was just saying about how, 0.0 tolerance, how this might sound like, it is superstition, it is a fairy tale, but they're saying it right there, very blatantly, Atheists United, not holding it upon, just prove them wrong, 0.0 tolerance. But this is coming from an atheist organization. I mean, this is not how, I'm sure they didn't warm up the president saying, hey, you know, Jesus is like Humpty Dumpty and like all the other things. And believe me, I mean, there's stuff to back this up. I didn't just come on a Smart Wrestling Fan way back in the day and say, you know, look, there's absolutely zero evidence for a God. And to my research, there's actually zero evidence for a historical Jesus. Now, I didn't say that. I said that because at that time, I had no compelling evidence pointing to me as to the fact that there was ever a historical Jesus. The only thing that we have is Christology of the Gospels, of the Bible. That's the only thing that told me. Now, recently, since then, I've looked even deeper into it. And I'm talking about, people non-related, talking about Jesus, talking about the events of Jesus, talking about the happiness of Jesus, talking about, I hate Jesus, why is he here, walking around like he owns the place and stuff like this. I knew that there was nothing yet about that. I looked deeper into it and still found nothing. And now I'm going into the actual Gospels themselves and once again finding nothing relating to a historical Jesus even in the Bible until we get to the later Gospels that are talking about a teacher. But to me, they're not even talking about the same Jesus. We have a couple different Jesus. Not only are people trying to tell the best Jesus story, like Mark's more, you know, Jewish Christians, and going into Luke's and Matthew's and stuff, more Christians. And then, of course, we have Paul's quite mythical Christ, dying and rising Savior, that type of thing, more all up in the air, never actually, you know, ever was a person in Paul's writings. So not only do we have people trying to tell their own Jesus stories and their best Jesus stories and the best way to be a good Christian and make good Christianity happen, but we have people talking about completely different Christs. You know, that's something that I found later. But I didn't just base this on wanting to be against everybody. I just had no good evidence for it. So, you know, some of this language may be strong, but just keep in mind that this is coming from an organization that is, that has thought about this and has adopted that. Because why not? Why? Listen, do you have to prove that her, does this, does, I gotta find out his freaking name, Ned. Does Bishop Ned have to prove that Hercules wasn't a real person? Does he have to prove that, you know, Hercules didn't fight the dogs of Hades and things like this? I have to go turn on my Godzilla laser gun here. Sorry, it's getting a little chilly in the old coop, the concrete coop. So, no, I mean, he doesn't spend all his time doing that, you know? I'm interested in it, so I don't mind, but... Yeah. Continuing on, as President Kennedy reminded us, the greatest evil is for good men to do nothing. Join the fight against religionists who want to force you to live by their medieval rules. It's moral, it's timely, and it's essential. We need you to join with us today. Tomorrow may be too late. During almost 15 centuries has the legal establishment of Christianity been on trial. What has been its fruits? More or less, in all places, pride and in indolence in the clergy, ignorance and servility in the laity. In both, superstition, bigotry, and persecution. That's from James Madison, Memorial and Remonstrance Against Religious Censorship. James Madison, once again, probably had nothing to do with our American heritage. I bet they don't have that quote in there, and I can't... I'm sorry, I stumbled over most of his words, but that was from James Madison. Atheists United Goal and Activities. We hold monthly meetings presenting informative and entertaining... I thought I was reading something from the Atheists United, but that was freaking James Madison. I gotta get a date on that. 1785... To the Honorable and General Assembly of the Commonwealth of Virginia, a memorial and remonstrance against religious assessments. Wow, that's, I have got to read this. Fantastic. That's great. Yes, that's the spirit. What year did I say? Oh, 1785. Okay. So almost 10 years after our independence. As a country, I'm full of United States, USA, USA. Separation of state and church is not just a platitude or so. We hold monthly meetings, yes, programs and speakers. We hold monthly meetings, with speakers where, okay, so this is the end, where you can exchange views with many others. Our monthly newsletter sent to all members keeps you informed on activities, projects, and controversies. We'll send you copies upon request. Members may participate on any of our various action communities. Special activities include picketing where appropriate. Wow, great. Debates with religionists, appearances at civic meetings, organized letter writing, and much more. Our monthly community outreach lecture series has introduced many people to the logic and importance of atheism. We bring legal actions when and where appropriate. Educational activities include providing speakers for other organizations and the media, position pamphlets, information tablets, public displays, book sales, a lending library, and more. Social activities include theater parties, nature outings, dinners, picnics. I'm reading this off the new. Christian burning and running the bulls into Christians, and our annual solstice party. How about that? And, of course, I added those burning Christian things. Atheist United is a democratic organization with cooperates with similar groups of goodwill. We are expanding in size and scope. You can contribute to our cause and to the organization. And then the final quote, the Bible and church have been the greatest stumbling blocks in the way of women's emancipation. Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Free Thought Magazine, September 1896. Yes. How to learn more? The more intense. Oh, another quote. They're throwing me. The more intense has been the religion of any period, and the more profound has been the dogmatic belief. The greater has been the cruelty, and the worse has been the state of affairs. Bertrand Russell, Why I Am Not a Christian. He's gotten in a lot of hot soup, I guess. We welcome your inquiries about atheism and about membership in the Atheist United. For further information, write to us or call it at Atheist United, Department C. This is in Sherman Oaks, California. I'm not sure if that is still the thing. This was from 1985. Designed by Box Mallard. Text designed by Box Mallard, 1985. Electronic version of this introductory brochure of Atheist United may be reproduced and copied freely as long as it is not altered in any way. The book version. Wow, they had the same type of Creative Commons that I use today. This book version was made by Digital Demon eWorld, which is, Digital Demon, spelled like Demon, not Damon, with the fantastic program Paperback by David Fedor. Thank you. Thank you, Newton. Thank you, Atheist United. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I just want to make one final comment about on today's show, and then I'm going to wrap it up, a very short show today. And that is that about the Wiggly World message board, wigglysworld.com or wigglysworld.org/boards, or you can get there from any one of the many programs I'm involved with. You can get to the message boards. And recently on there, there's a lot of bickering going on. Now, I'm working hard to make We Talk Games its own self-sufficient little there's this word that's stuck in my craw for the past few days. I just can't get it out. I've been wanting to use it a couple times, and I just it escapes me for some reason. It's blasted out of my memory, but it's still in there somehow. Ugh, yeah. Speaking in tongues. I want to say biosphere, but I'm not even sure if that's really what I want to say, but I just said it. But, you know, I want it to be its own little thing that I can't think of. Cracktoclasm, spanging a magnicoot, poo-poo bladder. I just can't recall. I don't know what I'm doing. It's colony, its own thing, you know? I want it to be its self-supporting thing. And have its own community, have its own social network and stuff. So I've been working on that. There's a lot of parallel projects going on, and they're all quite brain hurting. That's one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, I do a lot of stuff. Now, before I went on the shoot yesterday, and these go-go's have not only been more difficult to edit, that four to five times as long as a regular go-go, but they've also been a little bit more complex to film. And as we add more and more teams to the list of the trios, that's more and more teams for Gavin Loudspeaker to remember. So it gets quite long and difficult. And tossing to these things, how these episodes are broken up, it's all getting a lot more complex. So yesterday's shoot was quite long and quite difficult. But before I left on a shoot, Quackenbush had emailed me. He said, you know, what I'd like it to be is, you know, sort of like, you know, beckoning back to like the 1980s, early 1990s wrestling promo activity types of things, sort of like a Royal Rumble report or something like that. And Mean Gene would say, and then this team's going to be, this person's going to be in the Royal Rumble, and then we cut to a picture of them. And, you know, Mike was sort of saying, I wanted to, you know, edit to a picture. He'll talk about the group, talk about the members, and then we'll have slides of each person. Well, the problem is that we don't have photos that can fill the full screen, you know, in 720. For all the members of all the trioses, and that would take a whole lot of work. But what I was thinking was that I was thinking about those older WWF Royal Rumble reports and things like that, and how the logo would key over, and how they would you know, cut to pictures of the person or promo or something like this. And I was thinking, wow, you know, even to make our go-go look as crappy as that, and I mean, it looked great for the time, and it even looks good now, but what I mean is that it's incredibly simplistic compared to the way that things fly around in today's media world. And believe me, this doesn't, you don't have to be a wrestling fan to appreciate what I'm saying here. You know, it's very primitive graphics. Do a wipe, do a whatever, you do a switch over. But it reminded me that, okay, even though that's very simplistic back there, Mean Gene talking in a microphone, there was a whole crew there. There was a whole crew there. There was the sound person, there was the sound engineer, there was the sound engineer probably in the booth that was, you know, monitoring all this, mixing it in. There was the switcher guy telling people when to switch to different cameras. There was a guy that was controlling, you know, the keys. You know, one or two people, at least, monitoring things. There might have been a whole crew, who knows? But the point is that it was a crew. And when I say a guy, I could have been a gal too. I'm just, you know, the guy impersonal pronoun meaning human. So there was a whole crew doing this. I am a whole Wiggly. I'm just a Wiggly, okay? I am one Wiggly. And as I'm putting together these things, I don't have someone to, pardon me for bumping the mic, I don't have someone to rely on to make sure that the mic's in the right place, that we're getting a good sound. I don't have someone to rely on that we're really filming. I'm filming the whole thing. I'm co-hosting. I'm doing the audio. And when we get there, you know, that's when we find out what we're doing. It's very difficult to switch into some type of more intellectual mode and really deliver something solid, and I hope that I do. And then editing the same way, you know, it's just one me doing all these different things. We did get the King of Trios logo, thankfully, from someone else. I'm very happy about that. It looks cool. It's, I guess, like a King of the Ring, Lord of the Rings type of thing. And that's why I try to put a Lord of the Rings dissolve type of effect on it. But, you know, I animate those things. I try to make, you know, studio look alright and stuff like that. But so, believe me, just doing the Chikara Podcast of Gogo and my tech job is more than most people would ever do. So we talk games and this show as a bonus on top of that. That's really a lot of content. That's really pushing it. It's really pushing me. And I'm doing it of my own free will, of course. No one's making me do this. And definitely the numbers would prevent me. If it was just about ego or something like that, I still wouldn't be doing this. It's much more and it's deeper, and I'm in no way complaining. I'm just saying that I'm up against quite a lot. If one day I could just run the Wiggly's World of Media company and, you know, call it something a little bit better than that, and that was my whole job, then I would expect a lot more out of me. I would expect a lot more. But I think for what comes out of this studio, I think it's really in the A-plus area, you know what I mean? I think I do a pretty decent body of work and quality of work for with what I have. And like I said, I just want to wrap up on the Wiggly World of message boards. I was thinking I was thinking a lot about the Planned Parenthood things going on. I listened to a Minnesota Atheist episode where they had on the head of the Planned Parenthood around their area, greater Minnesota area, and well, all throughout Minnesota, I guess. And I was also, Planned Parenthood locally here has been on my mind recently. A lot of stuff going down, a lot of stuff going on that I'm kind of close to. And I know that they have one really deranged picketer that always comes there. And I was thinking about how I would go. They've been asking me, you know, come down and stand there and anti-picket and things like this. And I've been thinking about how I could approach this. And I have no problem doing that. You know, these people are very myopic in why they are there. I mean, scientifically, biologically, there's a lot of places for open for debate and open for topic within any belief system. Any doesn't really matter. That has nothing to do with it. There's a lot of biological and scientific things to study at, to look at here as human beings. And to talk about things like this. But Planned Parenthood is more than just an abortion clinic, believe me. And, you know, a lot of these religious people are against all forms of birth control whatsoever, including the person I talked about on the last show, whatever her name was, you know, out of mind already. Email alerts. No, I don't have it. I thought I still had. Oh, yeah. Here we go. What's her name? Benzonate. No, that's just, I was recant. Never mind. Sorry. Yeah, here I am. I'm here. But I was thinking about how would I do this, and I thought, well, you know what I would do? I'd probably want to be one of the protesters. I think the best way for me to do this is to be one of the protesters. And except my signs would reflect what the protesters are really saying. But it may have never dawned on them that they are saying this. And the first sign, and I'll just say the first sign because there's plenty of them, believe me, that I would have had. But the first sign would be that would just simply say, women are not intelligent enough to make moral decisions for themselves. And then I lied because I will actually say another one. I think another one would be the state should force all women to bear 16 to 24 children, which is the average amount of times a woman gets pregnant. I would have that one. You know, the government should force these women to have 16 to 24 babies in their lifetime. And also that any woman who has a spontaneous abortion should be jailed. But it was going to be worded better than that. This is just trying to remember off the top of my head. But, you know, if you don't know, it's very, very difficult to even know how many times a woman is pregnant in her life, because so many times pregnancy is not, there's no point of pregnancy. That's the whole problem. It's a process. So there's, I was going to word it in a way, any that gets flushed during menses. That's how it was going to be. Something about, you know, that never making after fertilization. If it cannot adhere to the wall, then it gets and flushed during. My brain's gone. I wasn't ready for this, but something like that. Then you know they should be imprisoned because you know they had a spontaneous abortion. This is so common. This is a part of being human. That is why, to me, it is so important. And you know, and it's very traumatic. Now, these I'm not trying to make light. And it, believe me, if any person, any young girl was coming in to the clinic, I would take down my signs immediately. My signs would just be to show the protesters and say, listen, I'm just like you. I don't think women are intelligent enough to make their own moral decisions either, you know. But as soon, if a young girl would come in to be getting counseling, I would, of course, encourage her and give her the thumbs up and say something comforting that I'd already thought of but can't recall right now. But this would just be to protest the protesters. And, you know, it's really these hooks that we put into and this lack of understanding about how common natural spontaneous abortion is as a natural life process that makes things even more of a burden, even harder on us. And what more weighs on people harder than religion? Having a voluntary abortion for whatever reason, even in cases of rape or endangerment and things like this, is a hard decision, I'm sure. There's, like I've mentioned this before, it's nothing that anyone goes into and, you know, is all like gung-ho about. You know, it's always a traumatic experience, whether it's on the surface traumatic or not. But these Planned Parenthoods are in place to help people. Okay, they're in place to help people, help young girls that are in trouble, and teach about birth control. And another part of this is that abortion is not the leading percentage of the things that Planned Parenthood do. 95% of other things that they do has nothing to do with abortion, from what I'm to understand. So it has to do with, you know, preventative. It has to do with diseases. It has to do with birth control and protection and things like this. So that all got me thinking about the message boards. And lately it's been heated on the message boards. Now, I need to caution everyone, and I hope that I can remember how this was in my mind when I wanted to talk about the message boards. Number one, I love the message boards. It's a place where like-minded people can get together and just post some things. There's not a lot of people on the message board. About, I would say, a dozen people are currently active on it, and only like 125 members. Very, very small slice of everyone that's listening to the show, and you know, a microscopic slice of people that listen to my other shows or watch my other shows. And in that small community, we have to come in there and realize that everyone on the boards is someone that's questioning something about themselves, someone that's not afraid to be wrong, someone that is not afraid to be made the fool, most likely, and someone that is there. I mean, they're there for a reason. They're there for a community. They're there for whatever. And we have to respect that people are intelligent that come to the message boards, because it's such a small community, okay? And as I mentioned about people that listen to this show, there's a level of an approach to life. That's the only way I can explain it. There's a certain thing about these people that have a certain approach to life, that they will not be persuaded, that there's no ideas that are dangerous on the Wiggly World of Message Boards. I think anything is free to talk about there. And I would hope that it would be. I don't want anyone to not put something and be stupid and be shot down. Listen, we can go after ideas, we can disagree with ideas, but we have to respect the individual that is posting the ideas, because I want everyone to be free to say exactly how they think, exactly how they feel. I know for a fact that I'm not going to change anybody by yelling at them or saying you're wrong or saying whatever. I can only say my point of view, how I look at it, how I live my life. And then we can hope that people think that maybe, hey, you know what? He's living a pretty good life. He's a very nice person. And he believes that. Wow, I would have never thought that. I was wrong, or I was right, or, you know, whatever. I can't control what other people think of me. I can only control what I think and what I say and what I hope. And I hope I'm being respectful. But I don't think there's anything dangerous that anyone can say on a Wiggly World, a message board, no matter how crude, no matter how what. Because everyone that's reading that, I have faith in that they are intelligent enough that if they don't agree with it, they're not going to say, I am zombie, I do too. It's a by God. I no use article. You know, respect the intelligence, the morality of the people that are reading the message boards, and keep it friendly, keep it civil, and realize that, you know, there's no danger in what anybody says. No matter how wrong you think they are, how much you disagree with them, you may one day end up agreeing with some of the things that they're saying. But please have respect for the people that are on there. And I definitely have faith in everyone on the boards that they're not going to see something and be, you know, instantly converted to go out and do things that are against their moralities. I mean, otherwise, I wouldn't have all the that whole thread that's about, you know, a hamburger piled on top of a pig, piled on top of a cow, deep fried in chicken grease with a chicken beaks on. And so there's a whole thing about food in there, of these disgusting foods that are animals chopped up on top of one another in a sandwich. Now, is that what I agree with? No. Do I think it's a dangerous idea? Well, maybe, but I don't think that people seeing these things is going to make them hungry if they're a vegetarian. It's probably going to make them throw up like it does me. I thought about seriously just closing the thread because I was just so grossed out by it, you know. But I mean, I don't fear it. I hope that everyone here lives without fear. And I hope that Noel can live without fear of ridicule, fear of being made to feel a certain way. But believe me, no, if people are making you feel this way, they aren't worth you allowing yourself to feel this way by what they say. I know it's hard sometimes, but realizing that we control how we are affected by people. You know, you made me do this, you made me. Very few times has anyone really made you to do something. I mean, they did if they were holding a gun to you, or they were, you know, handcuffed, manacles, or some type of hypno ray or something you got hit with. But very, very rarely can anyone make you do anything that you are not allowing yourself to do? And perhaps stepping back from that and realizing that you're in control and realizing that, you know, who's the bigger person here? The person that wants to actually, you know, examine, question why and what they believe things, or someone that just off the cuff is just saying something nasty to you because they are so conditioned. Who's the bigger person there? I know. I'm not going to say. Microcosm! Sorry if I woke you up, everybody. I want it to be its own microcosm. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, everybody. You're probably sound asleep. And now I woke you. Well, just in time, let's go back to 1984-ish. The garage recordings in a garage in New Jersey. It was a fellow's studio, but it was in his garage. It was. I loved the. I can't recall his name right now. I need to put that in there when it does come to me. Hey, for Scatman Carruthers, this is a song called Black by the Cabbage Go-Go. Wiggly Fred and the Cabbage Go-Go. Wiggly, that's me. Thanks for listening, everybody. Wiggly. I'm Wiggly. Wiggly, Wiggly. I'm Wiggly. Zebulon the Toaster says hi. A Wiggly World.
Comes to pass the absence of all color, black.
Close, uh-huh.